I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today, we will complete the series on healing, faith, and spirituality. My first guest today is Mel Brake, an award-winning Philadelphia-based poet, singer, songwriter, whose poetry has appeared in several media outlets and journals, including Philadelphia Poets 2007, 2008, and 2009, Mad Poets Review, Fox Chase Review, and the Philadelphia Bulletin. In addition, Long Island Sound, an anthology of poetry, Writing Outside the Lines anthology, Words Riot Magazine, The New Verse News, Word Salad Magazine, and Poetry Inc. 2010 has published his work. He was interviewed or appeared on several broadcasts such as CNN, WURD-AM, WHAT-AM, WLIU-FM, WPEB-FM, and UBI-VME, GeorgetownRadio.com, to discuss his views and opinions on family life and home. Mel Brake is the founder and executive director of MPW, a nonprofit organization focusing on using the arts to reach children in the tri-state area. Recently, he appeared in a one-act play, The Body Artist, at the Old Academy Players, a nonprofit community theater located in the East Falls section of Philadelphia. He also wrote his first chapbook, Obama Poetry Project. More information is available at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mel-Brake. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Mel, and I look forward to hearing your views on healing with faith and prayer.
Thank you, Carl. I'm so happy to be on your show today, and I really hope that my being on your show today can also help your fellow listeners. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, first, Mel, do you believe that faith is required for physical healing?
Carl, yes, I do. I believe that without faith, at least in my personal experience, there would not be healing at all. I mean, I also believe in holistic approaches in terms of helping one to heal. For instance, when I had a severe pain in my neck, several of my vertebrae, I partnered with a chiropractor because, again, I believe that it's something that I can't do alone, that I felt that I do need the services or did need the services of someone in the holistic practitioner arena as to partner with, but I also told my chiropractor that I believe that I'm going to be healed, that I know I'm going to be healed, and I did intensive prayer for my healing. Actually, I prayed every day while I was in intense pain. I prayed day and night. Mm-hmm. So I believe in faith. It's an absolutely important component to healing.
Now, do you think that if people don't have faith, that they may get better, but then they'll have another illness until they learn the lesson they're supposed to learn?
I think what happened, Carl, is that history is almost like it will repeat itself. I think, for instance, people who don't have faith, I mean, we all, again, go to doctors, whatever doctors that we're accustomed to, so that people will go to a particular traditional doctor and maybe get prescribed medication that will sort of cover up the pain or cover up the discomfort, whereas the healing hasn't actually occurred. It was just a blanket was put over it, and they might feel a little better, but again, repeating itself, they're not really healed because, again, I feel that you must have faith to be totally healed, because to me, healing means you no longer have that modality. It's gone.
Then, Mel, tell us about the healing of your neck pain.
Yes, Carl. In July 2009, again, I had this intense very severe pain in my neck. Now, this pain was actually precipitated in 2008, which I didn't know, so I just did my daily functions. I would go to work, I would come home, I would play. And so the pain just, it built up over time. So that in July 2009, I was getting ready for work, and my back seized up. I never forget that day. It was actually July 4th, because my thought was that July 4th holidays were coming up. I had a long weekend, but it was a Thursday, and my back seized up. I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk to my phone, actually, to call my manager to say, I can't come in today, that I just could not move. So what I eventually did was, later that week, I was able to schedule an appointment with my chiropractor. Now, again, his outlook was that this was going to take time for me to heal. It was not going to happen overnight. Well, within a three-month period, I would see him on a tri-weekly basis, and I also would see he prescribed a specialist so I can get cortisone shots. So what I would do was that I just continue to pray. And during my prayer, I woke up one time early in the morning, Carl. It must have been 2 or 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I just prayed to God. I said, God, I said, please, please, please take this pain from me, because I just could not bear it. The medicine wasn't working. I felt the chiropractic manipulation wasn't working. The steroids was not working. The pain just continued. So again, I intensely asked God, please, please stop this pain. What happened was, as I sat up to pray, because I was on the floor, I slept on the floor, I laid on the floor every day, because in an upright position, the pain was just more intense. So I sat up from the floor, and in that moment, I went through a tunnel, and it could be even referred to a near-death experience, because as I traveled through this tunnel, Carl, I saw these lights. They were green, like a heart chakra. They were also indigo blues, and which was corresponding to the crown and the crown and the third eye chakra. So as I traveled down this tunnel of light, and the tunnel was rotating, the lights were rotating around me, and it was just beautiful. I was in an altered state, if you will. And so as I continued to travel down this, through this light, when I got to the end of this tunnel, there was this period of just silence. It was a moment of stasis. I had arrived somewhere, some other universe, if you will. And as I arrived there, it was pitch black. And then in the center of the space, or as I call this room, there was this figure that looked like me, except it was very large. It was a large figure, and it was a head. And then I saw a syringe or needle-type instrument that was placed in the neck to where my pain was, or where it originated from. And then at that moment, that image went away. And then I heard a voice that said, I am knowing. And so I was startled. But again, I was so at peace with myself. And I said, well, who are you? And again, the voice said, I am knowing. And then I knew at that moment that I was healed. I knew that I had a direct contact with Source God. And I knew in that moment that I was healed. And next thing I knew, I found myself back in my room, sitting on my sofa, and I knew that I was healed. Now, I still continued therapy for a couple of weeks, but I knew at that moment mm-hmm. the pain was gone, that I no longer had whatever that was in my neck. And that has been a year ago, and I am healed to this very day.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mel, were there other alternative interventions that you used?
Yes, I did, Carl. The one that I used was, again, I met with my chiropractor, Dr. Charles Terinsky, who he treated me for other injuries that I suffered in the past. I've known him for about 3 or 4 years. And when I was experiencing this pain, because it would radiate down to the back and my shoulder blades. So when I saw him in July 2009, I said, Dr. Sarinsky, I said, you and me are going to work together. This is a partnership. You're going to facilitate my healing. I took full responsibility for my healing.
Mm-hmm.
Carl, I don't believe that it's up to any doctor. I believe that we have the power to heal ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I also felt that it was important to, again, partner with a holistic practitioner, and that's why I chose Dr. Sarinsky, because he believed what I believe, that it's up to us, our bodies and our minds and our souls and spirits, to heal ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You said that you called on God or spirit to take the pain away.
Yes.
Why did you do this?
Yes. It's interesting. The reason why, Carl, thought I did that is because I felt that I had no alternatives. I sort of felt that I tried everything that I could do in terms of, again, working with other holistic practitioners. Again, holistic practitioners. I felt that it was up to me. I felt that there was more that I could do. And it's almost like just being in intense pain, I only knew to turn to God. Like I made a direct appeal. I felt that with his intercession, only he can heal me. Now, I also believe, you know, as a spirit being, that we are the God particle, that God and I am one.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, it was also a way of turning within myself and speaking to that God within me.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt I was, in turning to myself, I was also turning to God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I did that.
Mm-hmm. Mel, how do you think this healing helped you, and how do you think it can help others?
Yes, healing helps me, Carl, because it lets me know that I have a tremendous faith in myself. What I mean is that it's easier for me or anyone else to look externally for answers to life, for guidance. What the healing did for me, what that experience did for me, was that to have belief in myself was so important, because without having that belief in myself, I would continually to look externally for healing solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with me all the time that I had the ability to heal myself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a matter of belief. I mean, one analogy, if you will, is I think of the Wizard of Oz. If you think of Dorothy, all the time Dorothy had the ability to bring herself home. But she didn't know that. So she traveled the Yellow Brick Road, you know, looking to others to help her to get back home.
Mm-hmm.
But what she realizes when she took that journey, when I was in the process of being that pain, I was on that journey of looking externally, as Dorothy looked externally to others to help her get back home, it was the journey that I realized that I had the power to heal myself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I turned to myself, my God self, and that's when the healing began. Because I, not only did I believe, but I knew that I could heal myself.
Mm-hmm.
Your second question, and helping others, I think it's important for others to know that are listening today that, yes, it's important to partner with other holistic practitioners to help us to heal, because it's important to have that guidance, because, you know, I was down, I was out, you know, I felt I had no place to turn. So it's important to have that guidance, people to say, hey, Mel, you're going to be all right. Hey, Mel, you're going to make it, because I am human.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like others to know is that we have the potential, the ability to heal ourselves, and it's within ourselves, and we are that God force that can heal ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mel, you wrote a poem about this experience.
Yes.
I wondered if you could read the poem to us.
Oh, yes. I'll be happy to read that poem.
Mm-hmm.
Carl, if you can give me a minute so I can pull that up.
Okay.
I'll be happy to read that. And while I pull that up, that poem is called The Tower of Light, Tunnel of Light. And I read this poem because I have some friends who also follow a spiritual path, and part of my healing process, they invited me to come to sort of like a spirit circle,
mm-hmm.
where we would just talk about, again, you know, where we were in our lives. And it was at this, the circle is where, when we, through meditation, Carl, is where I first saw these chakras, these lights.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read this poem now. It's called Tower of Light, Tunnel of Light. Like Gideon, the angel spoke to me and said, do not be afraid. Mother God is with you. My battle is a personal one of fear and doubt, to walk through the darkened tunnel on faith, to be fearless and jump off the highest mountain. My fear is of the mundane and everyday, of losing something as unimportant as my job, of not having status in the community, of not having enough money to feed myself. I ask Mother Goddess for proof that she is with me, that I am not alone, and that paradise and riches are around the corner. I sent her with an offering of tithing to bunker my faith, but she asked for even more. She said that I will never work again. She asked me to leave my job. She asked me not to worry about my place among men and women, and don't worry about provision. When I do as she asks, I am surrounded by green and blue indigo chakras, which lead me down a tunnel of rotating and floating lava light. Like an undulating fallopian tube, I travel deeper and deeper in my heart center that also rotates, expanding through and through and through and throughout like white light. The chakras correspond to the discs in my cervix that are in need of healing. I am engulfed by the four angels. I am graced by 13 beings of light. I am enraptured by the summer mother goddess. She delivered me through. She caught me when I fell. She carried me through my challenges. She brought me a great victory of overcoming my own fear. She has healed me, and as I walk on water, I am fearless.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mel.
You're very welcome, Carl.
Now, were you creative before this experience, or do you think that this experience facilitated creativity?
Good question. What I know, Carl, is I know there are multi-layers of dimensions, meaning that time is now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it all happened at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is that as I wrote that poem, this was actually prior to me having the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that the healing happened even before I wrote that
mm-hmm.
poem.
Mm-hmm.
That it all happened simultaneously as far as my just being aware of it took some time.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened on a higher plane in another dimension is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware of it at the now time that I was already healed. So the creation, the healing, the poetry, it all happened at the same time on simultaneous dimensions. It just took my conscious mind to get
mm-hmm.
its hands around to realize that it already happened, and I just called it in. I just basically claimed and said, this is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, time is something that we invent in the third dimensional world and is not known in the spiritual world. So
yes.
I can see where they all would be working together.
Exactly, Carl. Exactly, yes. And again, they do all work together. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you would like to say before we look at your services, products, books, whatever you have that you would like to talk about?
I would just like to say, Carl, again, I want to thank you for this opportunity of having me on your show, the Holistic Health Show. It has been a total honor to be here today, and I really affirm that, and I know the work that you do to help others to heal so that they can live a longevity in life. I hope that someone out there listening in benefits from our conversation today. That's what I intend today and now.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Now, would you like to tell us about products and services and how the listeners can reach you?
Yes, I would like to, Carl. Thank you. Listeners can reach me at my email, which is mbrake, B-R-A-K-E, numeric 1, at msn.com. I'll repeat that again. Mbrake, numeric 1, at msn.com. And, Carl, I do have a CD out. It's called The Adoration of the Soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it is actually a popular CD. It's been played in a Long Island, New York radio station last year. And the CD is a compilation of poetry, which I read similar to The Tower of Light, Tunnel of Light.
Mm-hmm.
And that CD is available if listeners are interested in acquiring a copy of that CD. They can email me at, again, numeric1 at msn.com. And also, for anyone that's interested in just reading the poem itself, again, The Tower of Light, Tunnel of Light, I will post it on my blog.
Mm-hmm.
And that blog is blogtalkradio.com/mel-break. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/mel-break. So I'll make that poem available, again, as a courtesy to anyone who would like to further read that and have a copy of that, and they can have that as a courtesy from me and a thank you gift.
Mm-hmm. Mel, can they also get your CD on your blog radio?
No, that is not available there. But if they would like to hear samples of the CD, that is available at my MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you just go to MySpace, as anyone know, and you type in Mel Brake, B-R-A-K-E, and then there I have samples of Adoration of the Soul on that website. They just want to sample it, just to, you know, see whether it's for them or not, or just to hear it and enjoy it. They can sample it that way.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Mel. I've enjoyed this, and I know that this will be interesting to the listeners.
Thank you so much, Carl, for having me. It was an absolute pleasure and an honor. And I thank you, and may God bless you and all your listeners.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And now a word from our sponsor, A Distinctive Style Magazine, at www.adistinctivestyle.com. This magazine is identified as an art-loving, earth-conscious, inspirational community that reports on eco-products and awareness, art and artisans, celebrities making a difference in the world, charities and inspirational stories, and you won't be disappointed. The upcoming issue is again full of wonderful articles. The cover story is with Colin Firth and how he perceived the stuttering part of himself as he played the king in his Oscar-winning role in The King's Speech. Jane Fraser, founder of the Stuttering Association, was also interviewed for this piece. There are lots of articles and videos about autism and how it affects the outer world. Children are bullied and stared at because of their condition, and we're letting people know what it's like to be on the inside of the autistic child. Our goal is to help eliminate the judging of others. There is also an interview with Derek Paravicini, musical savant, who can recall every song he's ever heard, and Dr. Adam Oakleford, who has taken Derek on as a full-time friend and who is a professor of music in London. These are a few of the stories you will read in the upcoming issue of A Distinctive Style Magazine, and I know you will want to subscribe. For more information and to subscribe, go to www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest is Kelly Calabrese, a leading fitness, nutrition, and wellness professional for the past 24 years. She has owned and operated health clubs, provided corporate fitness services for companies such as Calvin Klein, Nabisco, and Beneficial Insurance, and was the leading fitness expert for eDiets and eFitness. Kelly is the fitness expert to Montel Williams, is the author of 3 books, including Feminine, Firm, and Fit, a detox meal plan, and a cookbook. She is also the international master trainer for Adventure Boot Camp, and her activities and interviews have appeared in multiple media outlets. More information is available at www.kellycalabrese.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Kelly, and I look forward to hearing about your overcoming your back pain that was caused by an automobile accident. First, Kelly, tell us about the automobile accident.
Okay, well, I was finishing up my senior year at Rutgers University, and I was finishing my degree in clinical exercise science, about to launch my career in helping people live longer, stronger, more vibrant, energetic years. And I was driving from the library through a green light, and these 2 young boys had stolen an SUV. And at that time in Newark, New Jersey, they used to do those high-speed pursuits where the police would chase these kids in a stolen vehicle. And I just happened to be in the middle of the intersection as they came through at 90 miles an hour. And I was in a little 2-seater convertible, and they hit me right in the driver door at a very high speed. And the grill of the truck just went right into my car and my body. And I wound up having head injuries and spinal injuries, fractured ribs. My knee was messed up and the bones, and it was swollen. So I was quite injured after that accident and spent a lot of time going through rehab. And the last couple months of my senior year, if you were to look at my notebook, you would have thought somebody with a severe handicap, mental handicap, was taking my notes. They were barely legible, so I had headaches for a very long time.
And then, Kelly, what treatments did you try initially for your injury?
Well, I did traditional physical therapy. I did chiropractic. And because of my background in exercise therapy, I did a lot of things on my own to strengthen my back and to improve my condition and to heal my body with nutrition. So it was really a lifelong effort using everything that I knew and then finding top rehabilitation doctors.
And were these effective?
You know what? Over time, I did get some relief, but I always had chronic pain, and there were a lot of things that I couldn't go back to doing that I used to do before, like playing sports. You know, I could cycle, being on a bike was okay, but anything with running or twisting or impact was really not possible for me. And it could be something simple, reaching into the refrigerator to grab a bottle of water, and I could just fall to my knees because I twisted the wrong way. So I always had to be very cautious of my back. And if I wound up doing some lifting or something unusual, I would pay for it. So if I wanted to try something, I knew that there were going to be consequences afterwards.
And then, Kelly, what happened to worsen your condition prior to your being saved from the pain?
Right before we were leaving the New Jersey area, we were getting ready to relocate down to Dallas. My husband had taken a promotion with his company, and I was driving home from Staten Island to New Jersey, and a drunk driver fell asleep behind the wheel, and his foot went down on the accelerator. And I was in the middle lane, and he was in the fast lane, and he hit me from behind, again, at a very high speed, about 90 miles an hour, because I was doing 60, and he hit me like I was standing still. And it was a hitting and spinning type injury where we kept hitting and bouncing off each other and spinning, and this was on a highway, so cars were bumping into us as we were hitting and spinning and bouncing off the guardrail. So once again, I had more head injuries and more spinal injuries and rib injuries, soft tissue damage. So I again had to sort of start over with my rehabilitation.
That's a shame. Then what did you do to overcome your pain?
Well, I had again done the traditional where I went to a chiropractor, I went to physical therapy, and I did my own core strengthening through things like Pilates and yoga and stretching. And then one day I had done something that had just really hurt my back again, and I was suffering. I mean, to get in the car took me about 5 minutes. And then once I got in the car, I wasn't sure how I was going to close the door because I couldn't reach my arm out. I couldn't twist my body. And I was walking in my kitchen sideways because it was easier for me to sort of inch myself along the countertops than it was to walk sideways. Mm-hmm. And my house manager, who is a believer, Christian woman, she saw me suffering, and she put her hands on my back, and she started to pray over me. Mm-hmm. And she just asked that the Holy Spirit come through me and to take away any wounds and to just remove any pain from my body that had to do with these accidents and just to take it away. And I could feel heat coming through her hands mm-hmm. as she was speaking mm-hmm. over me. And when she stopped praying, she took her hands off my back. I stood up straight. I walked right into my office, and I sat down in my chair. And mm-hmm. that wasn't even possible for me to do. I mean, I would inch and shuffle along, and I'd have to sort of, you know, ease myself into a chair. I couldn't get, you know, into the bed without inching or getting help. And that was the end of my back pain.
Right.
I've done many things since then, from playing sports to lifting things. We even have moved. So I've moved furniture and boxes, and I've had no pain since mm-hmm. then.
Did she actually touch your body, or did she touch the energy field around your body?
She put her hands on my back. Mm-hmm. So I had, you know, just a shirt on, and she put her hands on top of my shirt, mm-hmm. and she just prayed. And I don't even remember the exact words that she said, but she was just asking for mm-hmm. a supernatural healing to heal any wounds that went along with this injury and for all the pain to be gone. And it was instant. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't stand straight up, and she took her hands off my back. I stood straight up, and I walked forward, where I was walking sideways, shuffling before.
Now, what were you doing while she was doing the healing touch?
I was agreeing. You know, everything that she said, I was saying, you know, look, yes, God, yes, Lord, yes. Mm-hmm. So I was just in mm-hmm. agreement with everything that she was praying for.
Mm-hmm. So you think that faith was a part of this healing?
Absolutely. I would say faith was the biggest part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this had been 20-plus years since the first accident and 4 years since the last accident.
Mm-hmm. I ask that question because I took courses on therapeutic touch
mm-hmm.
probably 30 years ago with a nurse at New York University,
mm-hmm.
and I have used it many times, and it is supposed to work whether the person is a believer or not,
mm-hmm.
but I suspect that most of the people that I'm attracted to do it to are believers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had a lot of success with that, but it's slightly different in that you do not actually touch the body. You work with mm-hmm. the energy field around the body.
Right.
And so that was why I asked if she actually touched your body or if she was working with the energy field. And I believe Reiki, another source of healing, deals with the energy around the body rather than the actual body itself.
Mm-hmm. I could feel the energy coming through her hands, and they were barely touching me. It was a very, very mm-hmm. light touch, mm-hmm. but it was powerful. Mm-hmm. I could feel the energy.
Now, when I do therapeutic touch, I will feel, and my hands will get almost blistery hot,
mm-hmm.
and the person always talks about feeling heat. But sometimes, you know, people will feel cool, but with me, they always feel heat. So I think that's a part of channeling the energy. But I think faith, as I say, is also probably a very important part of healing. So,
absolutely, and I had not seen anything like that mm-hmm. with my own eyes happen before. And since then, since I've told people about it, now I've found many people who are doing these types of healings with mm-hmm. all kinds of different conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Now, Callie, what did you learn from this experience?
Well, I think that a lot of our pain is maybe not just physical pain, but pain that might be tied to something emotional. There might be some other wounds in there that we hold. And I think that anything can be healed. I think that any condition can be improved, and it's a matter of believing it's possible. Mm-hmm. Miracles are happening all the time, and mm-hmm. I think people are suffering and accepting conditions that it's not necessary for them to accept, but they also need to be proactive, and they need to take care of themselves and make better choices.
Right, I agree, right. Now, is there anything else you would like to say before we talk about your books and services and how the listeners can reach you?
I would just say to people, if you have a condition, if you have a pain, if you have any type of illness or disease, that there are solutions out there for you. You shouldn't have to suffer. We are all meant to have a healthy and blessed life, and be honest with yourself about what might be going on that you could do to improve your situation. And there's lots of places out there for people to get help. So mm-hmm. don't suffer every day needlessly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now, Kelly, will you tell us about your books and services and products and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure. I have a few products out there. One of them is a detox meal plan, and it's about detoxifying primarily your body, but also your mind. It's about putting good things in and getting good things out. And that meal plan includes lots of great practical tips for people to use. And these are all natural foods that God made. There's no unusual things or even a big supplement plan to go with this. So it just gets you back to normal eating. I also have a cookbook. It's called the Adventure Boot Camp Cookbook, and it's about eating for a lean body. But there's also 6 chapters in there that give you lots of great information about just day-to-day what it is that you can do to make the best choices possible. And then recently I just recorded a 2-hour audio program, and that gives you information on everything from grocery shopping to dining out to eating healthy while you're traveling, and also ways to optimize your exercise program. And they can find all of these and more at kellycalabrese.com, and that's kellycalabrese.com.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Kelly, and I look forward to talking with you at another time.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Carl.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye.
My last guest, Marcia Scarborough, is author of Medicine Dance, One Woman's Healing Journey into the World of Native American Sweat Lodges, Drumming, Meditation, and Dance Fast. The book was the first runner-up in 2009 for the Zia Award from the New Mexico Press Women, finalist in USA Book News, 2007 National Best Book Awards, and the 2006 New Mexico Book Awards. She is a freelance journalist who has written over 75 articles in American journals, and spent 17 years in Hollywood scheduling, planning, and running sets of feature films and primetime television. She has traveled with Buddhist teacher Joan Halifax, danced with movement guru Gabrielle Roth, earned a brown belt in karate from martial arts legend Tak Kabola, participated in Native American healing ceremonies, and produced workshops for a Nigerian master drummer. More information is available at www.marciascarsborough.com. Marcia, how did you get involved with Native American mind-body healing?
It was a time in my life when everything was going wrong, a very dark time where my parents were both dying, my 18-year marriage was crumbling, my glamorous career in the movie business was heading downhill fast, and on top of all that, I got a bad mammogram. And when you get the bad mammogram, they tell you you need to come in for another one, and you're like, okay, I'll come in tomorrow. And they're like, sorry, we can't give you an appointment for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to that appointment, and they say, well, you know, you really need a radiologist to interpret this, but we can't give you an appointment for 2 weeks. And then you go to that appointment, and they say, Well, you know, we needed an ultrasound, but you can't have an appointment for 2 weeks. So in that time, I was feeling very helpless and fearful, and like cancer was running through my body, and there was nothing I could do about it. And during that time, a friend called and said, there's a Native American medicine man in town doing private healings.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sign me up. At least it's something I can do, even though I had no particular interest in that before.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a private session with beautiful painted arrow, Joseph Rael.
Mm-hmm.
And he did what I now know, recognize as energy work.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what it was at that time. And the results of that were so amazing. When I went for the ultrasound, they could find nothing at all, that I was really hooked and wanted to know more about what he was doing, this Native American healing process.
Mm-hmm. Then, Marcia, tell us about Beautiful Painted Arrow.
Beautiful Painted Arrow is a mystic and visionary Native American. He is half Southern Ute, which is a plains tribe, and half Picaris Pueblo, one of the pueblos of northern New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
He was recognized at a very young age as being a prodigy in healing and was sent to work with the elders of Picaris Pueblo, I think when he was around 7 years old. So he's had a lifetime of training in these techniques. He's one of the few natives who will work with people who are non-native, which is controversial within the native community. He does it because he had a vision that he was to work with non-native people, people of different races and cultures, particularly the white race, because the reason he was given by spirit was that we're the ones causing the problem, and it's better to work with us because we need to solve these problems.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't say that the work he's doing is traditional Native American healing. He calls himself a mystic and a visionary, and he's doing his own work. It's based on Native American techniques, which he says he uses because they work.
Then, besides private sessions, what other healing techniques have you experienced on your path?
Well, after the private sessions, the first thing he got me really involved in is the sweat lodge, which I think is a fantastically practical technique, and I still do it, and I recommend that to anybody who has the opportunity to do it. And then his real specialty is chanting the vowel sounds, which creates healing through vibration, and then the marathon dances, which are sort of based on the Sundance type of thing. He does several different versions of it, but they involve going 3 or 4 days, dancing to the drums, out in the wilderness with a group of people, with fasting from both food and water. So that's a very intense experience.
Then what part does faith play in these healing techniques?
As I understand in the Native tradition, prayer is very important, and it goes on constantly. And besides the traditional sort of verbal prayer that we're used to in our culture, there are many other forms of prayer. Among them, drumming, the rhythms themselves are considered prayer. Chanting, which is sort of like singing in church, is prayer, with each of the vowel sounds having a different spiritual significance. And then in the dance, the dance itself, the repetitive movement of the dance, is prayer. So there's prayer going on many different levels. The sweat lodge is community prayer in a sauna, basically. But in that, everyone will offer a prayer for healing. And the first part of prayer, and emphasized throughout the whole teachings, is gratitude, like always expressing gratitude for all that we have in our lives, even the difficult things, because those are the things that really teach us and help us grow.
Now, you mentioned drumming and dancing, and how do these create healing?
Well, the basic metaphysics of this world is that everything is made of vibration. Everything is energy moving, which of course has been confirmed now by quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
We know that atoms really are not solid. They are just electrical energy moving. And these indigenous people have known that from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Tiwa language, which Beautiful Painted Arrow speaks, has no nouns in it except mm-hmm. for the noun for energy. So everything is process. There's no Carl. There's only energy in the process of Carling.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, since nothing is solid, everything is energy moving, it can be impacted by other vibration.
Mm-hmm.
It can be realigned through the sacred vibrations of drumming, dance, and chanting.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say that dances are supposed to create world peace. How is this possible?
The dances and the chanting both create world peace. That's the overarching intention. There's also intentions for personal healing underneath
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But we create world peace by healing ourselves. So the more that we meditate, because the drumming is meditation. You can't
mm-hmm.
think of anything and drum.
Mm-hmm.
The long dances where you're fasting are certainly a deep, enforced meditation where you're listening to the drumbeat for days. Through that intense meditative experience, we heal ourselves on a very deep level. And as we heal ourselves, we find peace with ourselves, peace with each other, and ultimately world peace. So the overarching goal of all the healing is in creating world peace.
Then, Marcia, is there anything else you would like to add before we look at your books and services and how the listeners can reach you?
Well, besides reaching me, Joseph Rael actually retired from interacting with the public in 1997. At that point, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he has since cured himself, but he's living in a complete seclusion.
Mm-hmm.
However, he does post on YouTube every mm-hmm. so often as the virtual shaman, and he offers some of these chants for peace there. So if listeners are interested, they can go to YouTube,
mm-hmm.
put in Joseph Rael, R-A-E-L, and actually see him speaking and chanting. He also has a website, josephrael.org, that has links to the YouTube things, but also his books. He has several books that are excellent, and I highly recommend them
mm-hmm.
to the listeners. His latest book is called Sound, Native Teachings and Visionary Art, and it's illustrated with his sacred drawings, which are, he says, portals into other realities. It's
mm-hmm.
almost an encyclopedic book about indigenous healing.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommended.
Mm-hmm. Then would you like to tell us about your books and your services?
My book, which is a memoir of my experience with Joseph Rael, is called Medicine Dance, One Woman's Healing Journey into the World of Native American Sweat Lodges, Drumming Meditations, and Dance Fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's published by O Books, John Hunt Publishing, out of Britain, but it's available on Amazon and through my website, medicinedancebook.com. And I'm available to teach workshops and lecture and present at conferences, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be reached through the website also.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I appreciate this, Marcia. It's been interesting talking with you, and I look forward to talking with you again.
All right. Thank you so much, Carl.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. I thank you for joining me today, and I hope some of the information was valuable to you. This will end the Faith, Healing, and Spirituality series, and next week we will start a short series on the Ascension. Information on the Ascension is so important that we have had two previous programs and will return to this topic again before next year. For those of you who are interested, we had one program January 6, 2010, with Patricia Corey in Italy, and a second program with Caroline Corey in France on August 22, 2010. Do you wonder why we are having climate changes, international economic problems, natural disasters, turmoils in the Middle East, and other problems worldwide that all seem to be increasing? Do you think these are related to the Ascension? How do you conceptualize the Ascension? Do you believe it will happen or not? Do you think that if it does, things will get better or worse? Do you think it is end times as predicted in the Bible? These are some of the topics that will be answered on this program and have been discussed in previous ones on this topic. I do not subscribe to the prediction of the end of the world as some do, merely the end of the world as we know it. From reading and from my guest, I have learned that the earth is moving from a third dimension world with duality of life and death, sickness and health, war and peace, to a fifth dimensional world of health, peace, love, life, and all the positive things envisioned as a second coming. Some who have chosen to move in that direction will do so, whereas others who choose to stay in a dualistic world until a later time may also do so. It is your choice. All of the changes and turmoils we see currently are ways of getting rid of the old to make room for the new. So if you want to hear a positive, reassuring message about the future that is held by many who have the ability to see the future, you will want to hear these programs and read the resource materials provided by my guest. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, looking forward to having you with me next time. Have a good week.